Broadcasting from KUCR Studios in UC Riverside, this is the Highlander Newsroom. I'm your host, Crystal Mims, joined today by
Jessica Baker, Opinions Editor.
Robert Lees, Arts and Entertainment Editor.
Joseph Avila, Assistant News Editor.
Welcome to the newsroom, the people behind the paper. Okay, so today we are going to be talking about ASUCR and the fact that the elections results have been delayed because of some allegations against people and a few people that now have strikes against them and things of that nature. We're also going to be talking about the 9/11 documents that may be released soon, that some of the documents are said to possibly show Saudi Arabia having connection to the attacks. And we are also going to be talking about the earthquakes that have been happening recently. There was one in Ecuador as well as Japan that killed a good amount of people. And we will also be talking about Coachella. Yay, Coachella. Nobody here went to Coachella, but, you know, I watched live streams. So
no one wanted, I feel like I was there. No one went to Coachella, but everybody wanted to go to Coachella.
That's true. We're so close. India's right here.
It was empty.
All right. So we're going to start with ASUCR. So the results were supposed to be released on Monday, April 18th, but they were delayed because now there's cases that need to be reviewed by the judicial branch about people laptoping and things of that nature. Now, laptoping is legal, so I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do to be reprimanding people, but this is what's happening now. Were you guys disappointed by the news? I know we here at the Highlander newsroom, newspaper, we're trying to get a referendum passed, so I was personally looking forward to the results. But what are your thoughts on the delay and everything like that?
I just have a question. This is mostly, I guess, directed at Joseph and Crystal. Has there been an election year where there hasn't been some sort of controversy after elections happen? Has there ever been a time when ASUCR knows what they're doing?
Not to my knowledge.
Yeah, it seems every time the elections comes up, there's a controversy. And Erin Mahoney, she said something like, you know, it's like a cycle. Election season kind of is like it repeats itself all the time. So back in 2012, before, or 2012 or 2010, I think, there was another laptoping scandal that happened during elections. So
I think 2013, 2014, it was the divestment.
Right. Divestment.
2012, yeah. There was the laptoping. I mean, I remember they banned laptoping when it was like my first election year.
Yeah, I was hoping that there wouldn't be much going on just because, I mean, the elections, all of it was shorter. There was only like 3 weeks of all of it going on. We only had like 1 week to even campaign for like our referendum, and I was just like, what can happen like in that short amount of time? But obviously a lot can.
It's honestly kind of comical that Melina Reyes is the elections coordinator, right?
Director, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or elections director, okay, mm-hmm. Sorry. She's anti-laptoping, and she actually wrote an op-ed about if you're being laptoped, don't let them laptop you, mm-hmm. because basically someone, you know, they could hypothetically fill out the ballot and say, just vote on this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why is it legal or why is it allowed but disencouraged? It just seems like it's such a joke. And I have to say, this is my opinion. Like, I think for us to consider like wanting like the student government to have a, like, you know, some autonomy from the administration, we're going to have to show that like eventually that we can actually have an election that's not some big controversy where like results get like delayed and stuff. I mean, yeah, Florida did that in 2000, but this is Florida. Mm-hmm. The administration is not going to respect student government if it's a bunch of like, you know, people that can't handle like really basic stuff.
Yeah.
My opinion personally. So yeah.
I think in general, when you get a strike against you or something in elections at such a low level, that the implications for your future are just like the implications for, I don't know, anyone who just thinks that they can overlook that is just, you know, it's corruption. I don't know if that's the exact definition of it, but it's shady. You shouldn't be like shady and try to win elections like not basing it off merit, I guess.
I actually want to clarify one thing. The reason why the strikes were brought up were not because of laptoping, but actually because of something called quote-unquote negative campaigning.
Right.
So just to kind of verify, it's actually much more expansive than laptoping.
Oh.
Because both parties have two strikes, another party has two strikes. I believe the only personal candidate well, there's one candidate or two, like Jack, to have a personal strike, but it's all based on like negative campaigning. Mm-hmm. A negative campaigning is if I can actually read a definition that they cited, apparently to the election bylaws, is negative campaigning shall be defined as any campaigning, electioneering, or vote soliciting against an individual candidate, group of candidates, or any others, la-di-la-di-da, but not limited to distribution of materials, posters, flyers, speeches, advertisements, electric. But as you can kind of tell, like, it's not necessarily the problem here is like they're just doing laptoping. It's more the problems like they might be doing like slander, or mm-hmm. they might be doing something else, like maybe it's going against one person. So just to kind of clarify, so we're not like mixing up
right
stuff.
And they're still planning on, the Judiciary Council is still planning on like ruling on the matter, right? Like they still plan on,
yeah.
That's why they were right. delayed. So I mean, I guess, you know, it's still disputed for now until like the
until the ends of time.
Well, what are the actual allegations? Maybe there's stuff that isn't related to these to this person or these persons in question that they can actually release the results about, you know? I mean, it just seems like with a definition like that, like negative campaigning, that hypothetically a party in power could like accuse the other side of negative campaigning and possibly hold things up and secure a win. Right. Not that that's yeah. happening, but it's very possible when you have a very vague definition and like, you know, something that's like as transitive as student government.
Yeah. No, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, I don't know how, like, the fact that it's being delayed because of, like, something like that, negative campaigning, like, that's really broad, and I'm not sure, like, what exactly is being brought against people, but it seemed like something like that could have easily happened,
okay.
and now it has.
Right, but we also, like, okay, like, one thing, we also have to be, like, realistic in terms of, like, have you guys noticed how, like, elections have been going so far, like, our own national level?
Yeah.
Like, the notion of negative campaigning, the notion of, like, weird slander, that's kind of weirdly the norm or the practice in elections. Like,
how many
commercials have you seen on television where, like, Hillary has, like, burned Bernie Sanders or vice versa? Or, like, Trump, oh, my God, Trump is the holy grail of, like, all these examples.
That being said, like, there's always been negative campaigning. Like, back in the election of, like, I think it was 1800, John Adams said that if Thomas Jefferson was elected, like, basically, like, all these crimes would be legal. And Thomas Jefferson had said John Adams doesn't have the wit of a man nor the calm sensibilities of a woman. So negative campaigning has been around as long as campaigning has been around.
Right. I guess just on the scale that it's on today and the way that people take it, like, is a lot different nowadays. Like, it's at such a mass scale nowadays as opposed to maybe in the 1800s. But it still, yeah, it still right. shows that people will do anything and say anything.
I mean, I don't really know what else is going on, but, like, I do kind of applaud the fact that the judiciary is actually, like, approaching every single, like, litigation.
Yeah.
Like, we don't even have that at the national level. I mean, of course, it's impossible
right.
to do at a national
right.
level. It's even impossible to do, like, a state or local level. But,
right.
like, the fact that our, like, school's willing to do that. Like,
did anyone mm-hmm. here actually see any negative campaigning? I saw a bunch
I
of
mean,
posters.
I didn't.
There was hearsay.
Yeah, I was, like, hearing things.
Hearsay. Like, on posters?
No.
Just like
personally, I only heard about laptops.
Because the posters have to be approved to by the elections committee, I think. Or like
right.
it has to be approved itself. Like anything that gets posted on campus has to get approved.
Yeah.
By like out of life sciences or something like that.
So yeah, personally, I only heard about like laptoping happening.
What
I don't really know
saying,
about
like,
negative.
Don't vote
campaign.
For this during laptop.
Yeah.
But then again, like maybe if laptoping was illegal, that would be a non-issue.
Yeah, so you guys think it probably shouldn't have been legalized then, or
I don't get why it's even a debate at this point. It seems like the people, like, you're not going to have a normal Johnny student going out and laptoping. It's going to be the people that want to get elected. So of course, like, some people won't be able to resist that temptation. They're going to try to do something self-serving.
Yeah,
like when your goal is to win, people will do anything.
Mm-hmm. If honestly, in kind of a weird. And I guess I can kind of see, like, maybe from maybe their point of view or something like that. But, like, by the fact that we have laptoping legal, they actually save themselves so much time in, like, doing other stuff. Because, like, so much
that's
time
true.
Was wasted last year because
being,
laptoping
like,
was illegal.
That's true.
Now they're actually focusing on time on other things, such as, like, I don't know, I would say more productive, even though, like, negative campaigning is, like, very open and broad. I'd rather have people focus on that than, like, a stupid rule about laptoping.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys think that, I mean, I know you even mentioned on the national level that everything kind of gets really, like, out of control and, like, slander is just a thing that happens. Do you think there's, like, any way to really, like, prevent things like this from happening, or is it just inevitable and we should just kind of, like, deal with it and work around it?
I think negative campaigning is just going to happen, but I don't think someone's saying something mean. I mean, you're basically saying this person shouldn't win by the fact that you're running against them. It's just simple Hegelian dialectics. But still, though, like, I think candidates should be able to say what they want, da 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 da. I guess, as long as they're not, it's not total slander.
Did you say Hegelian dialectics?
Are you trying to what insert is, the difference between slave and master dialectic going on here?
No, Hegelian dialectics.
The slave characterizes the master, and the master characterizes the slave.
You guys are humanities majors too. You should know what this is.
Yes, I know what it is too. But like, how does it apply here?
I don't know what it is.
It's by positing like a thesis, you automatically posit the antithesis by saying that I should win and be elected Chass senator. That this person, by all robot, should lose. That's what it's basically saying.
Hmm.
You can't have two non-existent states at the same time. It's almost like
you can still get out that non-binary in itself, though. Okay. Sorry,
but
going away from
with,
all
with
this.
Win or lose, there, yeah,
going away
be
from
binary.
All this
binary is
terrible.
One and zero. One win, zero lose. Like, that's the thing. If there's one person, if there's three people running for president, you can't have all three people get elected by saying candidate A should win. You're saying that candidates B and C should lose just by the fact that you're saying A should win. Vote for me. I'm candidate A. Like,
understand, you know, what you're saying. I feel like there's no way to prevent, like, these kinds of things happening
right.
during elections.
I mean, honestly, it's like, what is it, like a lot of First Amendment stuff, too, that you just can't say, like, someone can lie and... I mean, right? And that's protected against First Amendment rights, like, that you can say whatever you want to say, so you can't really be charged for... I mean, libel, right? Or libel,
like,
and slander.
Damaging slander? The character, yeah.
Right.
If you damage someone's character.
Right. But otherwise...
Or if there's a clear and present danger.
Right.
Well, when did we get the results last year? And when they were delayed? Like, how many weeks did it take? Or how many days?
I'm not sure, because even the campaigning time was a lot longer. I don't remember exactly, like...
Well, even though I won't be a student, I'm looking forward to the 2017 elections where they decide the ECAB through a bare-knuckle cage match.
I wish. That was so much more interesting.
Yeah, but we'll see in the coming weeks. Stay tuned, UCR students. It may get really interesting. All right. Moving on. President Obama will decide whether or not to declassify 28 pages of SEAL documents, which a few people suspect show a Saudi connection to the 9/11 attacks. All this will be happening within 60 days. So what do you guys think about this? Do you think that releasing the documents is beneficial? Should the public know? All that good
yes.
stuff.
I think that because 9/11 is such a huge, like, reference point to the times that we live in now, like, we talk about 9/11 as a... There was, like, a pre-9/11 world and a post-9/11 world, and something like this, like, that possibly implicates... I mean, possibly, allegedly, it could, but, you know, it seems like it's going to, that implicates the Saudi government in 9/11 is just insane, because it's like we're still finding out what happened that day, like, now, 15 years later, like, but, honestly, yeah, we don't, what did we, they wanted us, they said to never forget, which is right, we should never forget, like, such a horrible tragedy that happened, but what, if we're still figuring out what's went on that day, it's kind of, that term kind of is, you know, it doesn't make sense.
You have to know to not forget.
Exactly.
Right. I just think that, regardless of what it says, there can be some sort of national outrage. But the point is as long as a government or a country that, like, you know, commits major human rights violations or whatever has something to offer us, it's not going to really change anything. Like, maybe we'd be able to condemn Saudi Arabia for if they had a part in the attack, if they didn't sell us a bunch of oil. Like, if we didn't all have cars and we needed them to have our way of life, it might actually mean something. Like, but it's just because, like, Saudi Arabia has something to offer us, so that's probably why they've waited so long to declassify this.
Right.
You know? It could be.
Right. Another part of this is that there's a bipartisan bill that's planning on being, like, people plan to, like, try to get it through the Senate. Chuck Schumer is on it, and someone from Texas, too, is on the same bill. And it basically says that the American people can sue the foreign governments for the terrorist attacks. So it seems to me like it's a preemptive move in a way to, like, say that there's possibly, because Chuck Schumer was the Secretary of Defense or State.
You would know.
It was one of those really important, like, foreign, you know, positions, foreign policy positions. So, I mean, yeah, that's just something also to think about.
So you can sue a foreign government. Can you actually collect?
Is that's this kind what of, is being, you know,
yeah.
put forth.
Yeah. Also, like, part of the reason why they're saying that they've waited so long or you know, they just haven't released it yet is because They think that the possible revelation could jeopardize national security.
Right.
What do you guys think about that? Like, do you think that, you know, the reluctance to, like, release it has been because they don't want the involvement to be shown? And, like, what does that even mean?
We have to think of it, like, I see it kind of, like, as a trade-off. If you have more freedom, you have more risk. If you have the freedom to, like, own a firearm in the United States, you have the risk that someone is going to, like, shoot up some more or shoot you. But if you give up that freedom, then for safety, it's kind of the same thing. So, like, is the freedom of knowing information and knowing the truth worth a possible national security risk? Like, I would think yes. I would rather know than, you know, be ignorance is bliss, kind of.
That can be interpreted, like, national security risk can be interpreted in many different ways. Like, the reports on the torture that was going on in, like, at Guantanamo and, like, in Abu Ghraib and stuff like that, they didn't want to release that because they said that it would harm national, like, it would you know, it would put the country at risk and, like, American assets around the world would be put at risk. But, like, it's true in a sense, but, like, I think that how Robert was saying, like, it's never worth it not to know about something like this. Like, especially about our own, you know, our own knowledge of it, our own government's knowledge. They will also have to, like, answer to this as well, you know?
But also our own, like, just kind of jumping off point, our own nation's involvement in all of this as well. Because, like, you mentioned Guantanamo Bay. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of the reason they also didn't mention was because, like, if they actually showed all of, like, the acts of, like, all the weird pictures that were just weirdly taken of, like, prisoners' bodies stacked on top of each other for, like, some weird sort of, like, weird sexual deviant act. It was actually, like, committed by, like, American, like, soldiers or, like, American personnel.
Right.
And, like, it would show how much, like, America was actually very much part of, like, this whole act. I mean, according to, like, an article by The Hill, like, days after September 11, about 140 Saudi Arabian nationals were safely escorted out of the United States by the FBI.
Right.
So these actual, I'm kind of excited to see these art documents.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because, like, it will definitely show, like, how our own nation has operated in this.
Right.
Because we have so much light in the dark about this.
I mean, well, also, another thing is, not to be a conspiracy nut, but look at how the Panama Papers, people are going through that and finding all these U.S. lawmakers. Maybe this is, like, kind of, like, to get rid of the racist controversy at the Oscars, giving Leo DiCaprio an Oscar, so people talk about that. Maybe it's like, hey, we'll release some 9/11 documents so people won't realize how corrupt we all are.
Oh, no, I definitely was thinking about that recently.
False,
like,
flag.
You have to, not really, like, a false flag, but you should also think of, like, these two events as not relational, but look, kind of, like, you should see that, like, there's, like, things that people in the higher ups, they don't tell, like, it doesn't trickle down to the public, you know. And we should not forget, just because we're focusing on, you know, 9/11 right now, we shouldn't forget that the Panama Papers were also a huge deal, and people are still going through and adjudicating on things like that.
The Prime Minister of Iceland stepped down. Right. So the head of state did step down.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's still so much to know. Mm-hmm. There's connections that we could have with it.
Right.
But yeah, as a general rule, I think with the Abu Ghraib thing you're talking about is, like, when it comes to people trying to recruit people to fight as, like, terrorists against the United States, when they don't have to lie in their propaganda, when they can say without lying, like, the U.S. tortures people, typically that's a sign your country is doing something unethical. Like, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I just think, like, the reluctance to even release it is, like, a problem.
Right.
And I'm hoping that it will be released. But
you have to ask, well, why do they want to release it now, though?
Yeah.
True.
Well, I guess we'll see within 60 days.
Right.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay, if you are just joining us, you're listening to the Highlander Newsroom, broadcasting on KUCR 88.3 FM, streaming online at KUCR.org, on the KUCR app from the App Store, or the TuneIn app on Android. All right, so there have been quite a few earthquakes. In Ecuador, a 7.8 magnitude quake struck Saturday night and killed at least 413 people. That was a report on since Monday, and more than 2,500 people were injured. And last week in Japan, there's a series of earthquakes that killed dozens of people. There are about 1,055 people injured. And a few people missing and things like that. So I didn't know too much about the earthquakes. Were you guys, like, aware that these earthquakes were happening?
I read about
I read about the Ecuadorian one.
Okay.
I didn't know about Japan.
I heard about Japan.
I heard about it from you when you were saying, what are we going to talk about on the newsroom?
Yeah, I hadn't heard much about them. But the rescue efforts even have been, like, pretty slow. And I'm not sure exactly, like, how great, like, rescue efforts and everything in general. Every time I hear about quakes happening in places, it seems like it never goes well with, like, that kind of situation. Like, why do you think that is? And why do you think that it seems like nations aren't too prepared for quakes like this?
Well, an earthquake is it's a large natural disaster. So in working with emergency management, sometimes it's hard to tell the scope of something.
Right.
It's hard to tell the scope of, like, where these people are injured and, like, where they are. You have to move tons and tons of rubble that's slow. You know, and also, like, there's the case that, say, there's an earthquake and a road splits in half. Okay, so let's repair this road. And you see how long, like, road work takes in the United States, a very rich country. So imagine, like, for anyone else, it would also be hard to repair a road, to get emergency equipment and excavation equipment to the site. So honestly, it's just the scope of a natural disaster and just the amount of logistics involved is going to make any rescue effort pretty slow.
Right. Do you guys know what to do if an earthquake happens? Are you prepared?
Stop, jump, and roll.
Okay.
Public education.
Hide underneath a desk until both the earthquake and a nuclear bomb has passed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, I remember, like, elementary school, middle school, really, you know, we always did the whole everyone get on the table and we had the drills. I know that it happens here. Like, college, it's a thing, but it just, nobody really takes it very seriously.
We're always talking, since we live in California, we're always told about, like, the big one is supposed to hit us one day.
Right.
I mean, it's supposed to, but.
Yeah, well, eventually it's about
eventually
to happen.
It will.
Luckily, the San Andreas Fault can only get up to a 9.1. There can never be, like, a 10.0, like in that one movie. I was always a big kid, so I couldn't fit all the way under a desk, so I resigned myself to death if an earthquake hit.
Oh, my gosh. Well.
One thing, talking about what to do, I want to dispel an earthquake myth.
Okay.
So some of you may have heard, like, if there's an earthquake, stand in a doorway. It's supposed to be, like, the strongest part of your house, right? It's actually not. Don't stand in a doorway. Get under a table. Because back in, like, the olden days when houses were made of stone, like, a doorway was like a stone archway, which is, like, really geometrically strong. But nowadays, doors are just, like, a couple 2x4s or 1x4s with finishing nails and a miter joint. Not actually stronger than anything else. So what you actually want to do is, yeah, do what the school says and get under, like, a big sturdy kitchen table, not something from IKEA, or possibly, like, in a closet. So get under something heavy that will stop stuff from landing on top of you. Or go outside. Like, that works too.
Good to know. Yeah. Well, hopefully, I don't know what people, how do you think people can be more informed about what to do in the case of an earthquake?
Listen to this show or don't. No, we don't give very good information. Aside from that door thing, now I know not to, but
right.
I don't know.
I mean, just kind of know about, like, the areas that, like, you can go for, like, the earthquake emergency. I mean, like, I remember in Japan, like, after, like, that really big one in Sendai with, like, the tsunami and, like, the whole nuclear power reactor, Japan, like, enacted this whole thing where, like, across all the schools, they had to, like, have, like, or across, like, all the communities, like, no matter if it was rural or no matter if it was, like, a city, they had to, like, have certain centers everybody had to go to, because, like, even though most people forgot, like, the earthquake and, like, the tsunami here, like, it's still very, very prevalent in Japan, to the point where areas of Sendai are, like, still, people who live in Sendai, like, previously have not returned to their homes. They've been, like, ousted by it. So, I don't know, like, I don't know how it is in Ecuador, but, like, it's kind of like the memory of like, the previous earthquake and tsunami still is very alive in Japan. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm not saying they're more prepared, but, like, more people are kind of, like, more freaked out, saying, like, I'm quite sure, like, more people were freaked out to actually prepare themselves,
well,
like, since
good.
5 years ago, based on Facebook posts.
That's good, so.
And, I don't know.
Hopefully, fear will make you all prepare yourselves.
Yes, be afraid.
That's what
afraid.
It takes.
Well, even with fear, though, like, after the earthquake, like, sometimes nothing is, like, done with the area around it. Like, and there's still a lot of people who are homeless from Sendai, from, like, that area in Japan where they can't even go back to their homes. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine what's going to happen in Ecuador. Like, are people going to be able to go back to their homes in that area? Mm-hmm. I mean, are they going to be ousted? Do they have to live somewhere else now? Like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Time will tell. Hopefully the respective governments or world governments will help to take care of them.
Yeah.
Or maybe not.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right, to wrap up our little show here, we're going to talk about Coachella. Yay. Ooh. So none of us here actually went to Coachella, but...
Lies. I was in spirit.
I was there for the weekend, but I'm from the Coachella Valley, so...
Oh,
yeah.
Did you hear the music from your house?
I didn't, but if you get close enough, you can hear it. So, yeah, it seemed relatively... I don't know, the streets weren't that crazy, and the freeway wasn't that crazy, so that was cool.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I just watched YouTube always has live streams, so for the past few years I've just been watching the live streams on YouTube and just hope that they play the people I want to see and everything. I gotta say that I was pretty turnt in my apartment by myself watching the live streams. I have studio monitors, so it was very loud. My neighbors were probably a little mad. But if you didn't know, LCD Sound System, Guns N' Roses, and Calvin Harris were the headliners. And there were a lot of other good people. Did any of you guys watch the live stream?
I did not. I saw updates. Actually, I saw my own live stream because our production manager and Vicky Nguyen and our managing editor, Cody Nguyen, both were at the show. So they saw snaps, but they were in the EDM tent the whole time, so it could have been the same person in all 500 Snapchats, and that would have made a whole difference.
Yeah. I heard that I know that the city of Indio and the Coachella Valley art scene, just the Coachella Valley in general, they collaborate a lot with Golden Voice, who puts on Coachella Fest, and a few artists from the desert actually got to showcase their art there, so I thought that was really, really cool.
Oh, that's cool.
This girl named Sofia Enriquez, she's from Cathedral City, which is a city in Coachella Valley. If you went and visited the CV art scene tent, you would have seen a giant coloring book that people got to color on, and it was outlines and things that she made that people could color into. So if you've seen that, that was from her. The Date Farmers is it a two artist collective from the cities of Coachella and Indio. They also had these giant sculpture cholos and chola riding a bike. Looked very bleak, it was very, very their style, and that was really cool to see too. To see local artists being able to engage and showcase their art to people from all around the world. So that was cool.
Cool. Along with the music, I know there's a lot of other attractions and things going on. So yeah, that's really cool.
Did you watch Halsey?
I did watch Halsey.
Oh, God,
it was difficult because she was on during the same time they were playing, I think, Ice Cube set and Vince Staples set. So I was trying to go back and forth, and I was really struggling.
Are you sure it wasn't difficult because of all the weird metaphors that are very simple in her songs?
Were you feeling very?
She did a
good
job.
I heard Halsey was a disappointment, according to
Really? Yeah. Well, she never seems very energetic. That's one thing. But I mean, she seemed like she was having a lot of fun. I enjoyed SZA's set. I watched that, and Gallant. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Those were pretty cool.
Yeah.
But hopefully next year, I'm really trying to go. Yeah. I really would like to go.
Save up the moolah.
Oh, nice.
Oh yeah, I just have to mention this. Be careful, please. It seems like at least every year at Coachella Fest in the last couple of years, someone has died, and some girl was hit by a car. Unfortunately, she died. But past weekend. So, and if you're going to be in the valley in the next couple of weeks, because it's Coachella, and then it's Stagecoach is for 2 weeks after that, and that's the country music Coachella. Mm-hmm. If you're going out there to any festival, make sure that you're aware of the cars that are coming at all times. It's very crazy traffic sometimes. Just stay safe, because unfortunately things like these do happen at festivals. So be careful.
Drink lots of water.
Stay hydrated and stay alive.
Especially in the desert.
Especially in the desert,
This has been the Highlander Newsroom on KUCR 88.3 FM. The Newsroom is a co-production of the Highlander Newspaper and KUCR. The opinions expressed on today's show belong solely to their owners and do not represent KUCR, the Highlander, or the Associated Students. Special thanks to Louis Vandenberg, Monica Taylor, Eddie Valencia, Elliot Fong, Tina Bold, and Alex Hill. Yeah, once again, stay safe and stay hydrated and stay alive, and good luck with midterms, which should be coming up.
Same.
Make sure you check out Radar Sessions. We had Prince Rashid this week. He's a totally awesome rapper. The video's on our YouTube channel, Highlander TV. And next week, we have Gypsies and Judges. They're playing at the Press in Claremont on Saturday. Check them out. They're awesome.
Good luck on life.
Yay. Thank you for listening.